How many remember what we talked a little bit about last week? I know some of you weren't here, but praise the Lord. Chuck and Deborah, bless you. I know they weren't here last week, but briefly, we were talking a little bit about God's freedom in our life and that He has given us authority in the earth. And when God sets us free, we said that gives us what? A little bit more of a responsibility. How many know that freedom brings responsibility? You know, how many know when you were growing up, or maybe you had children and you give them what? A certain amount of freedom as they learn responsibility. Amen? You don't just set people, you know, we don't just turn them out at 8 years old. You don't say, now get out there and, you know, get out there, come on, let's go. You know, no, we help them along the way, and as they grow, they gain what? Freedom as they what? Learn responsibility. Because really, becoming an adult is about becoming what? Responsible, isn't it? We learn to be responsible for what God has given us. And when we begin to look into the Word of God, and we realize that God has given man authority in the earth. And we said last week, a lot of authority is revealed there in Ephesians. Now we're going to get over there. Let's start in Isaiah. I want to go back to Isaiah first, Isaiah 14, because I want us to see, first of all, I think sometimes we come at authority in a place of fear. People get, you know, they get concerned. They're in fear because it doesn't look like what I need is happening. Anybody ever been there? You know, if you get a certain diseases, you hear certain words, you know, or we have certain experiences in life, sometimes fear comes. And if that comes on us again, we get into fear. And really, the fear is what defeats us. See, fear is really the opposite of faith. But when we have been given to God, and so sometimes we don't realize, and sometimes we fear the enemy's work more than we're fearing God. Anybody ever seen that? Oh, well, you know, I mean, we don't say it maybe out loud, but in our minds. See, He's tricking us. He's trying to say, just like He did to Adam and Eve, what did He say to them? Did God say, did God really tell you that if you eat of that tree, you'll surely die? He was trying to get them to doubt the truth. See, there's a reason. We need the truth. So let's look at Isaiah 14. And begin verse 12. I'm going to read a little bit of a passage here up through 23. Anyway, we see here where this is, he's mentioning and talking about Lucifer, which is what the devil's name was in the beginning. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden underfoot. Well, that sounds pretty powerless, doesn't it? Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and rampart and son and nephew, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitten and pools of the water, and I will sweep it with the bosom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. So, anyway, here we have in Isaiah. In Isaiah, we see here where Satan was first known as Lucifer. This is the only place this word is really used, the anointed cherub. Now, he stands before God in one of the highest positions of heaven. Yet, the Bible says what iniquity was found in him. He begin to say, I'm going to exalt myself above the Most High. And many say, well, that's pride, but really it was iniquity first. We see that in Ezekiel 38. We could look there, but right now, let's just stay here for a minute and take a look. He said, what did he say? He says, I'm going to do something. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Verse 13. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know who would be crazy enough to go against God except for Satan himself, Lucifer, who became the devil. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet he said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell on the sides of the pit. They that see thee, they're going to narrowly look upon you. They're not going to look upon you well. They see you as small. Consider thee, saying, is this the one that's deceived the nations, or made the earth to tremble, and did shake the kingdoms, the world a wilderness? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave, like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain. Thrust through with the sword, you go down to the stones of the pit, and as a carcass are trodden underfoot, under feet. He's talking here about Lucifer. He said, hey, you're cast out. You have been cast down. His power was limited. He could not exceed or move or do anything greater than who? God. Amen. And he was cast down to the earth. Now you say, well, where did we see that here in Luke 8? Let's go to Luke 10. Sorry. Luke 10 for a minute. Now we talk about Luke 10:19 a lot of times, but Luke 10:18 says this. Well, first we see the 70 come. Let's just start in 17. He says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That sounds like it happened pretty quick, doesn't it? You ever see lightning flash? God said, no, we're not going to have that. And I believe, it seems to me, I can't prove that, but apparently the angels at one time had some choice. But since then, I believe they're now sealed. They made their choice. A third of the angels fell. They went with Lucifer. 2/3 are still alive with God and with us. Amen. God uses them to help us. Praise God. How many are glad you've got some angels that help you? Amen. They've got power and might. Why? Because they're in a different realm. You know, it says, hey, they're made a little, you know, they're in the same realm with God. Right now, they're in that spiritual realm. And you and I are too, where? On the inside. It's just we got to have an outward body in order to live on the earth. We've talked about that, haven't we? If you see me, if you see my spirit man, and I stood out here, you'd say, well, there's Doug over there. What's he made of? He's made up of spirit. You know, you might poke it a little bit. You don't maybe understand it all. But it's there. He's there. You know, but how many know we don't really see from the natural realm here? We're in a different realm. We're in a three-dimensional realm. And God is outside that realm. He's outside. Where we are in a created thing called time. And sometimes I know it makes our brain kind of, you know, crazy almost. Well, what do you mean we're in time is a created thing? God created time for you and I. And we are in time right now. And God is outside of time. That's why all things are possible with Him. He's looking into time. He's looking into our dimension. Now see, it would be the same thing. And you would realize, you know, the authority that people have. Now, if you and I, if we looked into a two-dimensional realm, we could see the answers for people very easy, couldn't we? I mean, you know, two-dimensional, that means they go back and forth this way, and they can go this way, right? But they don't have any horizontal moves. So I could be walking around, and I'm here, and I turn here, and then all of a sudden, well, I'm in front of this chair. What am I going to do? I can't get around. You know, I know I can go this way and I can go there and I can get around. I get to the other side of it. But what if this is a circle? There's a circle here. There's a wall here. I want to get to the other side. I want to get to the inside of that. And they said, well, that's impossible. But you and I would look from our realm, from the third dimension, we'd say, well, why don't you just step over the wall? And they're like, well, what do you mean? Step over the wall. It's not, I can't step over the wall, but really they can. They just don't know they can. They're in a different realm. They're in a two-dimensional realm. But we're in a three-dimensional realm. We're looking into it. We're saying, well, that's easy. You just step over. You know, if the guy steps over, he gets in the circle, they'll go, it's a miracle. You know, we would look at it and we would see that's very natural. That's what you would do. And so that's where God is. He's beyond our time. And He says, we say, oh, that's a miracle. And God said, that's very natural. That's what I can do. That's why He can come and He can touch you and heal you. You know, He could come if there's something in your body, He can make an adjustment without surgery, right? You don't need a surgeon. He can just go in and fix the problem. Oh, there you go. You just did a little adjustment. Or something that's not supposed to be there. I just pull it out. He says, just reach in there and pull it out. You know. And to us, that seems so impossible because we're in a different dimension. We're not thinking the same as God. But when we get the Word of God, then He shows us His thoughts, His desires for us, what He really wants. He says, I've given you authority. That means it's not up to your power. It's not by our might or our power, but by what? His power. See, He defeated the devil. Jesus said, I saw. When did Jesus see Satan fall like lightning? When He was with the Father. Jesus was Satan's creator. He was Lucifer's creator, wasn't He? He was with the Father. John 1, He said, there's not anything made that was made. There's nothing that was made that I didn't make. Amen. Let's go over there. John 1. Let's just read it for a minute. Lord, I'm going to let you teach. Holy Spirit, help me. Hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the helper. You're our guide. You lead us into all truth. But you say, well, why is this important? I want us to realize, you see, Satan's power was taken from him. He was cast out of heaven. Now, he's in a different dimension, and he has the power to deceive, but God said, no, you're not going to be here with me. You have sinned. Iniquity was found in him. He invented sin. It came to him, and he acted upon it. But here it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things, verse 3, were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And if you look it up in the Greek, they say there's a little, what they call a pigtail there, not one single thing. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I listen to the Greek scholars. Hallelujah. And I can look it up. And so all things were made, what? By him. Without him was not anything made, including Lucifer. God made him. Just like he made man. How many know he wants every man to be born again? But if we resist and we choose not to receive the pathway that God made to himself through Jesus, then what? We will be eternally separated from him. You said, well, the sin sent him to hell? Not really. Sin was dealt with at the cross. It's available. Forgiveness is available to all. But how many know? You have to take your responsibility and say, yes, Lord. You have to say, yes, Lord, I receive my forgiveness. I receive my salvation. In the same way, we have to decide God's word is true. He has given us that authority. Back over here to Luke 10:19. There we go. We saw Satan fall like lightning. We got there because we realized that Satan or Lucifer was created by God. God is the creator. Created all things. And he's outside of our time. And therefore, he had authority, what? Over all. God's authority was given, though, to man when he made Adam and Eve. And he says, I'm giving you this authority now. But Satan, being the deceiver that he is, came and deceived them. And he got Adam and Eve to do what he said, right? But they didn't lose their authority. They still had a certain amount of authority on the earth. Because God had given it to man, but man lost it, and the enemy deceived him and gained a certain amount of authority. He gained authority over man to some degree. He says, now, hey, he's the God of this world, but that doesn't mean that he can do whatever he wants. Do you know that? Satan can't just do what he wants. He has to have cooperation with someone. He doesn't have authority of his own, but he has deception. And if he can get you to do something, that's why he, you know, I mean, if that's the case, then he'd just be killing people left and right, but he can't. He might tell you, I'm going to kill you, but he can't. He really can't because, I mean, if he could, he would do it. But he's got to talk you into doing it. Most people, you know, how many know people commit suicide? What happens? Something happens. They start thinking wrong. They get depressed. The enemy starts working. You know, and he's hoping they're going to listen and follow through with his advice. But how many know he doesn't even succeed there all the time, does he? He can bring a thought, but we don't have to obey it. He has no authority over you other than what we really give him. But, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power, or if we look that up, really authority, delegated authority. There are more than one word. This here is, talking about the authority that God gives a person or that a person has. They have, if we talk about someone that's an ambassador to the nation. They have authority, right? If we send out an ambassador from Canada here to the U.S., then we give them what? Authority to operate in Canada's name, right? In the name of Canada, I am here to operate. He has authority to operate and to say things and to do diplomatic things with another nation from this nation. Amen. He would have authority or delegated power. That's really what authority is, delegated power. Now, there's also, you know, the Bible says power. I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, the dunamis. In other words, the explosive power, his ability to do certain things. Over all, any kind of power that he may have, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. How many are glad God gave you authority? You have authority, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, he said, what? That our names are the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so here he's talking about authority. He already sent them out. He said, hey, Jesus, we see that the demons have no, even the demons are listening to us. Jesus, in your name. And they were kind of surprised. The disciples, how many know? See, the disciples, they were operating under Jesus' authority, under his mantle, under what he had, his anointing. And he sent them out. Now we're operating under Jesus' anointing too. How many know you have an anointing from the Holy One and you what? Know all things. What is that anointing? It's that recreated spirit that's on the inside of you that can now be taught by God. And in that spirit, we have that authority over all the work of the enemy. You say, well, what's the work of the enemy? Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Anything that's under oppression is of the devil. What does that mean? Oppression is to exercise hard control over. He wants to exercise control over you and I. We mentioned that this morning. You know, Jim mentioned it. It's part of the spirit of witchcraft. Control. Manipulate you. Why? If he can control and manipulate you, what's the difference? You might get born again, but he wants to try to neutralize you. He wants to stop you from going further into God. He wants to try to trick you and give you things that are not true so that you will not continue to pursue God. He wants to say, listen, you know, anybody ever heard the lie? It was a lie. I heard it when I was 12 years old that I remember for the first time. But the Sunday school teacher tried to say, well, you know, healing passed away with the disciples. And in the class, I didn't believe it. You know why I didn't believe it? Because on TV, I saw a man named Ernest Angel heal some people. And in my heart, now I was too afraid to say it with my tongue. I'm just being honest. I'm 12 years old and he's a big man. You know, I don't want to, you know, I wasn't trying to argue with the teacher, but in my heart, I said, what about Ernest Angel? Wait a minute, that can't be true. And even though I'm in a denominational church and they're saying, well, that passed away, it wasn't true. And I didn't have to believe it. You don't have to believe every lie of the enemy. See, I didn't have the Word of God and what He'd said, but I had something I saw, and it really was the Word of God. How many know sometimes you can see some things, and God can speak in your spirit? God was speaking to my heart, my born-again nature already. Even though I didn't know what the scripture said really on the subject personally, I really didn't. But I would see it happen. And because I saw it happen, I said, well, it must be true. Because some people would even say this. They would say, well, they just pay people to say those things. And I know I'm young, but I would think about it. And I thought, well, how come then if they're paying these people to do that, none of them come back and say, well, it wasn't really true. They were just paying me to do that. I mean, nobody. I thought, well, surely one person would do that. Right? You know, come back and tell the truth, even though, you know, I mean, once you got the money, what are they going to do, you know, if that was really true? But it wasn't true. There was true miracles taking place. And so we see here we have power, what? Over the enemy. He can't stop you if you don't believe his lies. You can stop him with our words. Words have power. We say no. When he comes knocking on our door, right? I got bad news for you. I've got a delivery. I want to bring this package of sickness to you. How many know? You can say, no, I'm not signing for the package. I resist you. I take authority over you. But what does that take? Before we really take authority over him, number one, we have to humble ourselves, which is really the answer to what Jim was saying. You know, yeah, the enemy can have all kinds of things going on around us, but if we'll humble ourselves and what? Secondly, submit to God. Hallelujah. We talk about that a lot here. Let's turn over to James 4. What is the answer so that the authority that God has given you? Well, I thought he gave me all authority over the enemy and the enemy's not listening to me. Well, first of all, I want to check up on myself. Have I humbled myself? Oh boy. James 4:6, it says, but he giveth more grace. He gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. He resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Then he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, so the first thing is, have I really humbled myself and received God's grace? His divine influence, his divine power to help me. You said, well, you're kind of adding there because he said submit to God. But before that, he's talking about humbling ourselves. It's right here. It's just one verse up. Verse 6. Because he's saying here in verse 5, do you think, he's talking about their thoughts. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? But he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Do we understand that, you know, when we don't do it God's way, we're really in pride? Boy, that's a big word, and sometimes it's a very subtle thing. Well, I'm not proud. I'm not in pride. Well, if we're not submitting fully, the second thing, submit yourselves therefore to God, maybe we are. Have we truly submitted everything to the Lord? Our entire life belongs to him. We talked about that last week. Have we got any idols in there? Do we love something or someone more than God? Anyway, praise the Lord. That went over well. It was good anyhow. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And in the Greek, we looked it up. He'll flee from you as if in terror. He's afraid of you. What is he afraid of? He's afraid that you're going to submit to God and do what God said and use your authority that he's given you and stop his power from affecting your life so that you become more like Jesus, that you will draw near to God and he will begin to draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Don't be double-minded anymore. No, I'm going to believe what God has said. I'm not going to believe the enemy. I'm going to take my rightful place and draw near to my Father. And I'm going to what? Resist that devil. And he's going to run from me. He is afraid of you. He's already been cast out of heaven. He's already been cast down with lightning. Jesus said, I saw him be cast down and I have given you authority. Paul said, all authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing can hurt you. But it takes us deciding, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to believe what God said. I'm not going to let myself become double-minded. I'm going to purify my heart. What? By submitting, drawing near to God. When I draw near, how many know when you draw near to God, he rubs off on you? We sang about it today, right? He's holy, isn't he? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Do we believe that? Not only that, he created you. In true righteousness and what? Holiness lives in you. But how many know? We've been made free. We're slaves to whom we obey. And we can choose to walk in holiness. We can choose to walk and do what is right. We can resist those temptations. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. The thief comes for one reason. What? To steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many are going to humble yourself just a little bit more? We're going to submit just a little more to God. Continue to submit to him. Resist that enemy. Draw near unto our Father. Amen. And let his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That's how we really see our authority. We exercise our authority. We have something to do with it. You and I. We have the responsibility to respond to his ability that's already in us, to his power, to say, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm going to find it. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to walk in your way, and I'm going to watch the devil flee. See, he doesn't want us being afraid of the devil. He said, here, he's afraid of you. He's afraid you're going to get close to God. Oh, boy. No wonder you're having a little trouble here and there. No wonder he comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy from us. No wonder he tries to stop us from doing the will of God. Number one, what? Entering our prayer closet. Anybody have trouble there sometime? Oh, boy. Well, I was going to pray, but, you know, my favorite show came on, and I got distracted, and 4 hours later, I said, well, I'm getting tired. I'm going to bed. Why? Because the enemy comes to deceive. I'm not saying he can do it, but we have to be what? We've got to be aware. We've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to discern. And we've got to say, Lord, no, I know you're greater than that. I'm better than this. I can submit to you. I can come and draw near to you. I can find you. I can know God. I can resist that devil and he's going to flee. See, once you got him out of your life, now you can help him get him out of everybody else's life. Amen? You're resisting him. I'm learning to resist him completely. What? In my life, I have all authority. Now, when it comes to other people, you know, we've got to go to God. We've got to let God set some things up sometimes. So, well, why? Because people have their own will. I can't make anybody get born again any more than you can. I can't make them get healed either. But I can talk to God. I can know God. I can pray for circumstance. See, He changes things. And I can take authority over the enemy that's trying to deceive them. And God, hopefully, we believe, if everybody sees clearly, how many going to say, hey, I see that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I think I'll take heaven. If you see that clearly, how many know? Most people want to choose heaven, right? Amen. If you can see the distinction, and that's what we're praying. When we're really praying for people, we're believing they're going to hear the truth. They're going to receive that truth. We're breaking down barriers of the enemy because why? He has come to lie. That's why it's so important for us, especially now, to stand with the truth of what God has said. Jesus said, Thy word is truth, Lord. His word's truth right here. Number one, His word is truth. He said it's settled forever. It's full of power. It has the ability to change a heart and a mind. And when we take hold of that truth, we draw near to Him. We humble ourselves. We submit to God. We draw near to Him. We resist that devil. And he's going to flee from us. How many think they want to draw a little nearer to God today? Amen. We want to submit a little bit more, humble ourselves a little bit more, and watch God perform His will, His purpose, first time, every time. See, when we stay submitted to God, the enemy has nothing in us. He can't destroy us. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, there could be things that come. We all have temptation. Jesus was tempted, yet He resisted the enemy with what? The truth of the word. Amen. And we become doers of that. All of His authority, all of His power has been broken. And our authority comes into being. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for the truth, Lord, that yes, Satan comes to attack. He comes to try to deceive, but we have all authority in You, Lord Jesus. You have given us all authority over all the power of the enemy, Lord. And when we humble ourselves, Lord, we submit to You. We resist the enemy. He must flee from us. He has no power to deceive us, Lord. We know that He is afraid of us, and we need not fear Him. Hallelujah, because Jesus made a show of Him openly. Colossians 2:15 said He made a show of Him openly. You triumphed over Him. And Lord Jesus, because You triumphed over Him, You said, now, I have given You power. I've given You that authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing can harm us, Lord. We thank You. We ask You to help us this week, Lord, as we continue to remember, Lord, we stay vigilant, to humble ourselves, to submit to You, to resist the devil, to draw near unto You, Lord, and let You strengthen us and to allow Your will to be done in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.